In God, I anchor all my trust, discarding my own merit. His love holds firm. I therefore must his fullest grace inherit. He tells me, and my heart has heard, the steadfast promise in his word, that he is my help and heaven. The psalm that we just chanted together is called a psalm of ascent. It's also a cry of distress, because psalmist in the first verse already cries from out of the depths, despair, dissatisfaction, hopelessness. After all, what is life? Some 2,000 years ago, the Athenians thought that the best thing to have happened for humans was not to have been born at all. And the next best thing for those who have already been born is to have died immediately after birth. And for some years, we have been living, so that is not a choice for us anymore. And someone wrote, "Life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." And someone else we know, who has had all the wealth in the world and considered to be the wisest of all human beings, said, "Life is meaningless." So out of the depths, despair and meaninglessness come. Lack of purpose come, lack of direction come, restlessness continue. Out of the depths, the cry comes out. Therefore, it is appropriate that we who are really in the depths of our sin and struggle and sorrow and weakness look yonder for help. So we pray, "Thy kingdom come." And the kingdom of God comes in miraculous fashion, many times unnoticed, most times beyond human imagination. And the texts tell us, even the psalmist says, there is hope for the kingdom of God, for those who are looking forward to the kingdom of God, because the first sign of the kingdom of God is forgiveness. In verse 4, the psalmist actually spots that. In you and with you there is forgiveness. So there is hope for those who look beyond themselves and beyond the circumstances and beyond the situations in life. There is forgiveness. And for us Christians, particularly for Lutherans, forgiveness is the key, isn't it? And St. Paul, when he wrote about forgiveness, he talked about some kind of a transfer. Paul said, as God called us through Jesus Christ, he transferred us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his light. Of course, there is hope. There is confidence. There is a change. And Paul went on to say, he rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He brought us into his kingdom, the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption. The psalmist and the apostle Paul compared notes and they speak the same. Redemption, deliverance, hope in this hopeless world. The kingdom comes in its own terms. Miraculous as it is, it continues to be a mystery. And our Lord himself talked about the kingdom in some of his one-line sayings in Matthew, for example. The Lord said the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Though it is one of the smallest of all the seeds, when it falls to the ground, it grows and becomes a tree, and the birds of the air come and brood and make nests on its branches. Such is the miracle of its kingdom. It comes on its own. And it manifests itself amidst the struggles and sorrows and trials of this world. Those who seek the kingdom and through that find the meaning in life continue to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And the kingdom comes on its own. And the kingdom is able to take care of itself, mysterious as it is. In the parable of the mustard seed, the small seed becomes a large tree and allows birds of the air to come and find home there. In another instance, Mark says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer. He sows the seed, goes home, rests, and even sleeps. But the seed grows secretly, as it were, and it grows and then yields multifold fruit, grain from it. And with our help, without our initiative, the kingdom goes on growing, expanding, spreading, touching the hearts of those who are hurt, bringing a word of hope who still sit in despair, bringing light to the hearts that are darkened by the sin-infected world. And the kingdom's growth is mysterious. But is it? The Lord again goes on to say, the kingdom of God is like yeast. And we don't get to see yeast, and we don't need too much yeast for it to make an impact on the dough. And so is it. The kingdom of God comes almost anonymously, almost unnoticeably, but it comes and brings a word of forgiveness, makes life meaningful, make life worth living. As we go on with the text, if we are counting on a life here, we are perhaps the most miserable of all. Life will continue to be meaningless. Life will lose its goals, its beauty, its charm, but something remains. When sins are forgiven, hearts and consciences are cleared, so we are even able to stand before the Lord, the Holy One. Life transforms and life takes an eternal dimension. Therefore, we wait with the psalmist, knowing that in the Lord there is forgiveness. The psalmist says, I wait, yes, my soul wait, and in his word I put my hope. In this hopeless world, for Christians, for the children of God, there is hope. As much as our trust, our hope is in the word of God, and through the word of God, to God himself. Those who are of the kingdom then continue to say, God is our refuge and strength. He is a help in our trouble. He is our anchor. So we move on even in this Lenten season. Sins forgiven, redeemed, renewed, and transplanted into his kingdom. May God give us the grace to live this and rejoice in his presence with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Spirit, and of the Son. Amen.